Log Talk Radio.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to Eight in the Box. I'm your host, Football Rob. We are brought to you by All Access Football, NFLDraftBible.com, CollegeFootballInsiders.com, and of course, FSC.FM. Check those websites out if you haven't already, and get at me in the chat room, because we've got a lot to talk about. Week 17 is in the books, and you know what? I'm kind of depressed, man, because I know I only have one more month of football left, and then it's the longest off season of any professional sport, so there's going to be no football for a long time, and it really just hit me now that the playoffs have started. It's almost over. What am I going to do? I don't even know what to do if there's no football on. It's really a saddening situation there. But anyways, we have to talk about a lot of things, especially the coaching changes that are about to happen. Now, one name, we all know Jim Zorn's gone, and Bill Sheridan, the defensive coordinator, he's gone for the Giants. But the one name that I think should be mentioned in terms of being on the hot seat, and he's not mentioned, Josh McDaniels. The guy's the worst coach ever. He's the worst coach in the history of the world, as far as I'm concerned. He's alienated his top quarterback, and I know Jay Cutler had a bad year, so maybe there is a reason behind it, but whatever. He alienates him, gets him out of town. Now he's going after his top receiver, Brandon Marshall. Brandon Marshall was injured, all right, and he couldn't play. So he's injured and he can't play, yet Josh McDaniel has the gall to go and bench him and publicly humiliate Brandon Marshall. There was no reason to do that, all right? There was absolutely no reason to do that because he was already hurt. You didn't need to bench him. It's kind of redundant, you know? He's already out, and you want to just... The only thing he wanted to prove there was to humiliate a football player that had 100 receptions for him in back-to-back seasons. And the guy's a moron. I'm sorry. You went 6-0, everybody loved you, and I still said the guy's a fraud. And guess what? He is. So I think this guy needs to be fired immediately before he does any more damage to that team. So, but anyways, we have a lot of other coaching. The coaching carousel has begun. And Mike Shanahan is rumored to be taking the job in Washington. Now I have a problem with this one, too. Because you got to remember, Mike Shanahan has quite a nice little resume there with two back-to-back Super Bowl wins in the 90s with the Denver Broncos. So it's clear to me, and of course he's been to the playoffs many times, it's clear to me that Mike Shanahan knows what he's doing. So why would he want to work for a meddling owner like Daniel Snyder? This one I can't figure out. Maybe Snyder's offering him so much money that Shanahan's just like, all right, fine. I'll just be another puppet in the circus, because you know what? He's paying me a boatload of money. Because you know what they say, money talks and something else walks. So maybe that's what's going on there, because I can't figure out for the life of me why somebody with those kinds of credentials would want to coach for an owner like that. I just can't wrap my mind around the fact that Mike Shanahan is just—he's definitely the best candidate out there, and he wants to work for Daniel Snyder. I can't figure out. Maybe our next caller can figure it out. We've got Paul Van Scott on the line, and Paul, what do you think about this? Because I really don't see this matching up with Mike Shanahan and Daniel Snyder. It's only a matter of time before Snyder, you know, pushes the buttons the wrong way, and I don't see it as a good fit at all.
I'm not sure that Snyder pushes the buttons as much as people think. I mean, Joe Gibbs seemed to back him up, and sure when the coach starts losing a few games, sometimes maybe just a few, as Snyder starts to get a little worried, but I'm not sure he's making as many decisions as people think.
Well, I mean, from what I hear, it seems like he's just overbearing at times, and you know, if you have a coach with a big time ego, and I'm sure Mike Shanahan does, I would see a lot of friction coming from that relationship.
Well, yeah, that is a possibility. Obviously, Snyder wants to win. He'll do anything to win, and maybe after a few losses start to pile up a little bit, then he might get a little more antsy. But, yeah, we'll see. I mean, they brought in Schottenheimer a few years back. He went 8-8, and that wasn't good enough for Snyder, and they did start to butt heads a little bit near the end. But maybe Snyder's learned something. Hopefully he can just let Shanahan be Shanahan. But it is going to be interesting because I think one of the reasons Snyder had brought in Zorn was because, you know, Zorn didn't have that ego. He didn't have that that experience head coaching, so maybe Dan Snyder thought that, you know, maybe I can control him a little easier, or, you know, pull the strings a little more, or whatever, and maybe he could, but it didn't turn out to be wins for the Redskins, so maybe he's going a different direction, but we'll see.
Yeah, I'm just not sold on anything Daniel Snyder does in terms of football. I'm going to question it until he proves me otherwise, so that's just where I stand on that one. Now, what do you make of this situation with the Buffalo Bills? Perry Fuel, the interim head coach, he was fired along with the entire rest of the staff, only to be re-interviewed in the coming weeks because they have to fill their quota with the Rooney Rule about interviewing an African-American candidate for a head coaching job. I think that's a load of bull.
Oh, yeah, it definitely is. I mean, there's some good things about the Rooney Rule, but then there's some not-so-great things, and that's one of them. I mean, obviously some teams are just bringing somebody in or interviewing them just to appease the Rooney Rule, and that's just it's just crazy.
Yeah, it's like, you're fired. We'll call you next week, you know, like, come on.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's buying that he's going to be rehired anytime soon.
Yeah, that's a total mess over there. And what do you think, now that we're talking about coaching changes, Eric Mangini, who pretty much ran himself out of town in New York with the whole Favre situation, then he starts off 1-11, and it's pretty obvious that he would get fired, but then they go on a four-game winning streak. So he went from absolutely losing his job to, we might keep him, we might not, we'll have to evaluate it. How do you see that shaking out?
Hey, well, you know, as a Redskin fan, I was afraid the same thing was going to happen. Once you, as a coach, your fate gets sealed, you know, somewhere near the second half of the season, you're not going to make the playoffs, and then all of a sudden, there's less pressure. You know, it seems a little easier to make decisions, and maybe you do get on a run, and same with the players. There's less pressure, so maybe you do win some down the stretch that you wouldn't have, and everybody's reconsidering, hey, maybe this guy's all right. But I don't think so, yeah. I don't think winning four in a row, you know, for Cleveland, winning four in a row is like winning the Super Bowl, though.
They're
not used to that kind of success, so they're looking at it as like turning the team around. I don't know. We'll see. I mean, it's happened before. When Joe Gibbs first came to the Redskins, he started out 0-5, and he turned the team around late in the season, and they ended up winning the Super Bowl next year. But I just can't see that being the case with Mangini.
Yeah, it's going to be a nice little decision, though, because, you know, even though I think he's a horrible coach, and I've said that ever since he was with the New York Jets, the guy just can't coach. But you know what? At the end of the season, a lot of teams mail it in, and his team didn't. So I think that has to count for something, that even though they were 1-11, he didn't lose his group, he didn't lose his unit, and, you know, maybe that will be enough to save his job. We'll just have to wait and see on that. We're talking with Paul Van Scott, and we're breaking down the coaching moves, the coaching carousel that's pretty much, you know, it was Black Monday yesterday when everybody gets their walking papers, and another guy that's on the bubble, Tom Cable. How do you feel about him in Oakland? I mean, I think he did a pretty good job getting five wins out of a team with that little talent to work with.
Yeah, I agree with that too. Getting 5 wins out of those guys was pretty good, but he's another guy I'm not sold on. You never know what Al Davis is going to do, but last rumor I heard was that he will probably stay there and see what he can do next year. I don't know. I mean, I in one respect, I think, yeah, he did a good job getting the 5 wins, but then on the other hand, could you have made some, as the head coach, could he have made some better personnel moves, particularly early in the season? I mean, they're sticking with Jamarcus Russell. Do they still think he's going to be the answer? I don't. I mean, he's had plenty of chances, and just everything he does seems to be a disaster. Yet they shouldn't even have him on the roster, but he's still there. So maybe he'll make the moves in the off season and try to repair it that way. But I don't think so. I mean, I don't think.
You know what I think, Paul, is that Al Davis is afraid to fire Tom Cable because he knows Tom Cable would probably punch him in the face.
Yeah, Cable's got the history of getting his way through the use of force and violence. Yeah, that could very well be the thing. And that might be the only thing that they can save a coach's job when he's working with Al Davis.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Al Davis is like 85 years old or whatever he is. He can't take a shot to the chops like he could when he was 35. So, I mean, that's something to consider, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, every time you see him in one of those press conferences, he looks like he's about to fall apart anyway. I'm talking about Al Davis. So, yeah, he's got to be worried about that scenario.
That's definitely something we're going to keep our eye on. Paul, it's been a pleasure to have you on. We are going to definitely talk next week about a lot of things going on in the NFL.
All right, Rob. Sounds great.
All righty. That was Paul Van Scott breaking it down like only he can. We were talking about the coaching moves in the NFL. We break it down like that. That's just what we do. So we are going to take a quick commercial break. And we're going to be right back after these messages.
I'm Rob Reed of BaseballGeeks.com and PlayerTrack.com. Since 2006, Greg Keir and I have been bringing you podcasts on baseball news, where we view the latest in baseball news with our fantasy baseball-colored sunglasses. We are proud to be a part of the Fantasy Sports Channel at blogtalkradio.com. Listen to us live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at blogtalkradio.com/baseballgeeks. And listen to two average Joes talk about the game that we love.
Are you one of the billions of American fantasy owners who suffer from Fantasy Sports Failure Syndrome, or FSFS? If so, coming in January 2009, a new fantasy site hits the web to cure this crippling disease. FantasyPros901.com will provide you with the essentials to win your leagues, with products like our Fantasy Draft Guide, daily podcasts, daily expert articles, and the best support team anywhere on the web. Tell your doctor you need FantasyPros901.com for your Fantasy Sports Failure Syndrome now.
Fantasy versus Reality, the show in which guys and girls are just sitting around the bar talking sports and sharing opinions. Tune in next Thursday at 11 p.m. Eastern. Don't be late or you'll be kaboomed. More live fantasy sports radio than anyone on the planet. 7 continuous hours of football, baseball, basketball, and hockey action each Monday through Friday. Plus 7 hours of game day frenzy on Sunday. 30 shows in all from the best fantasy sportscasters in the business, like Craig Davis of FantasyFootball.com, the Audible Cecil Lammy, Paul Greco of Melnick and Greco Fantasy Sports, and the Fantasy Football guys Lyle Conkiel and Kevin Moore. The Fantasy Sports Channel, only on Blog Talk Radio. It's a schedule you can bet on.
All right, we are back on 8 in the Box. I'm your host, Football Rob, powered by All Access Football, NFLDraftBible.com, CollegeFootballInsiders.com, and FSC.FM. That's what we do. We break it down like nobody's business. So I'm in the chat room here, and I don't see any action. I want to see some guys participating. Usually we have a nice little response here, and I want you guys to chip in a little bit. Pull your weight, man. Get in there. Let's talk a little trash. Talk about the Giants choking. Man, did they choke, man. Woof. I think that was quite a surprise that the Giants played that poorly down the stretch when they had a lot to play for, and that the Jets actually hung on for a playoff spot. That You know, if you would have told me before the season that one New York team was going to make the playoffs and only one, there's no way I would have picked the Jets. Absolutely no way I would have done that. I would have said Giants all the way. But it didn't work like that. And speaking of a team that the Jets lost to, they recently lost to the Atlanta Falcons. They screwed up a field goal every single way you could screw one up. They missed one. It was a bobbled snap, and there was also they missed it. What was it? 3 field goals, something like that. And then Tony Gonzalez had a game-winning touchdown late in the game. And I thought right there, when the Jets lost that game, they fell to 7-7. I thought the Jets were dead, but they. They're in the playoffs somehow. So anyways, let's bring in our guest, Alex the Great. Alex is back from last season. So what happened to your Falcons, man?
You know what? It's, hey, first of all, let's talk about the good. For the first time in franchise history, breaking, I think, an over a 40-year record, the Atlanta Falcons have had back-to-back winning seasons. How about a golf clap for that? You know, honestly, what happened, you have an offense that's predicated on Matt Ryan and running the football with Turner, Michael the Burner Turner, and you lost two of your stars on offense, you know, for a good portion of the season when they were trying to make that playoff push. You also lost Harvey Dahl, your nastiest offensive lineman, and you had some other injuries on the offensive line. And, you know, if you tell me you're going to lose two, you know, key components of your offensive line, and you're going to lose your star running back and your star quarterback, and you can finish 9-7. And by the way, you're the Atlanta Falcons, who've never had back-to-back winning seasons. I'd say that's pretty much a success, but that's pretty much what happened to this team. And you also have to take into account, too, they lost, had some injuries in the defensive backfield early on in the season, had to switch gears. And, you know, the two guys that are playing back there now, Grimes and Owens, were guys that were not originally slotted to play, and it took them a while to kind of get their mojo, and they did get it at the end of the year. So overall, that's pretty much your picture of the big picture, a little picture if you want, as to what happened with the Atlanta Falcons.
And what about Matt Ryan? I think he started off red hot, and he had a great rookie season. This was kind of a bringing back down to earth kind of season for him. I know he had some injuries there. How do you think he played this year?
Well, he had some uneven play. I mean, he'll tell you that. He also will tell you, and I've seen interviews with him, and he said basically that he feels he's grown more this year. You know, that he's actually learned a lot more about how to make better decisions this year. I mean, obviously it didn't translate stats-wise, because if you look at this year compared to last year, obviously last year was a great year for Matt Ryan. This year was not a great year. But, you know, again, you have to factor in the injuries. Last year the Falcons ran, you know, one of the best running football teams in the NFL. And this year they're middle of the pack at best. And, you know, a big part of that has been the injuries to the offensive line and, of course, the injuries to Turner. And, you know, you've got Norwood back there who's always backed up Turner. He's kind of been the lightning to Turner's thunder. And he really didn't do a whole lot this year, really. I mean, he has been injured for, you know, a good portion of the year, didn't really have that breakaway run, you know, that he, you know, runs that you saw on with regularity from him in years past. And that was also a big thing. So, you know, I think with the Falcons, it balances the name of the game with their offense. They have to run the football, and Matt Ryan, you know, works in between the run. I don't think Matt Ryan, and this is just so far my assessment of him, and he may evolve into this, but I don't think he's going to be the type of quarterback that's going to sling it 50 times a game. I think he's going to be more of like a Roethlisberger with a brain. You know, meaning that Roethlisberger, I think, manages the game most of the time, except that Matt Ryan's a lot smarter.
Yeah, you ain't kidding about that. Roethlisberger, his brains are pretty much mashed potatoes right now after all the concussions he's had. So, and he finds himself out of the playoffs. And remember, I was pretty hard on him last year, and then he made me eat a whole lot of crow by winning the Super Bowl there. But now I think it's settled down, and I think I was right. I think I was right about him. He's not as good as everybody thinks.
So you're not the president of the Ben Roethlisberger fan club anymore, are you?
No, I renounce my rights, and I give them to you. But You know, we've talked about some non-playoff teams like your Falcons and the Steelers. Let's talk about some playoff teams, for crying out loud, because we're in the playoffs. And a team that I don't believe in at all, and we had Mike Hale, from formerly of 790 The Zone, last week he agreed with me, and he's down in the dirty, so he watches a lot more NFC South than I do, but I'm not sold on the Saints. He's not sold on the Saints. How about you, Alex?
Well, you know, obviously they didn't end the season the way you'd like to end it, you know. And the loss of the Dallas Cowboys, I think, was a big, big loss for them. They haven't been the same since they lost that game. And conversely, the Dallas Cowboys look like now a playoff contender for real, like they're actually going to win in the playoffs as opposed to turning into a pumpkin the last few years, like as they've done. You know, the Saints, the thing with the Saints I've always had this question, and they definitely shored up in the offseason last year, was their defense. There's no questioning how good Drew Brees is. There's no questioning how many weapons he has and how dangerous that offense is. I think that will still be a big factor in the playoffs. The factor with them, for me, has always been, is their defense stout enough to take them to the, you know, Super Bowl and to win? And then you have to look at, the Saints are much like the Falcons in that their franchise hasn't had a lot of success. You know, we haven't had back-to-back winning seasons till this year. The Saints, in their history, have played 8 playoff games and they've won 1. And let me give you a very important date. That's December 30th, 2000. Now, why is that important, you ask? Well,
Azakim, right?
Huh?
Azakim drops the ball on the punt, right?
Yeah, that is the date that the Saints won their one and only playoff game over the Rams, 31-28. So in 8 appearances, the Saints have lost 7 times, including once to the Atlanta Falcons. So, you know, they don't have a rich playoff history, obviously. They didn't end the season the way that you would have drawn it up if you're the Saints. But that being said, you know, much like last year, this NFC is way up for grabs. I mean, I don't see one team to me that just stands head and shoulders above everybody else that tells me that they're just by far the most dominant team in this league. So, you know, I think right now I would put my money on either the Saints or the Vikings to be, you know, the team that comes out of this NFC to go to the Super Bowl. I still think the Saints can regain some of their, you know, magic of early in the season. And all it takes is one, I think with them, it takes one playoff win to kind of get some momentum built, and they'll make some noise. I don't see them going to the Super Bowl, but I do see them winning the first round game.
And what about, you also mentioned the Minnesota Vikings. I've been tough on them too. I don't believe in them because their coach has no control over the team. When he wants to bench Brett Favre, Brett Favre says, listen, nerd, I'm not coming out. I'm a hotshot quarterback. You look like you were from Castaway with Tom Hanks. So it's not happening, and I'm going in the game, and I'm staying in there. And, I mean, to me, that sends a bad message because, you know, you need your troops to buy into what you're doing, and that's obviously not happening in Minnesota. So that doesn't concern you at all?
A little bit, but I think that's not as big a concern to me as it is Brett Favre, his age, and the fact that he tends to just, his last couple of years, his performance tends to just start really going downhill in the second half of the season. And I think that's just, you know, look, the guy's old. Let's face it. You know, I mean, there's no way to get around it. I mean, I don't care what you say. I mean, yeah, he's a great quarterback, and he still is a great quarterback, but he's just a great old quarterback. And, you know, at a time when he should be peaking, he's really not. So, and, you know, I think that whole thing with Childress is a little bit of that. Childress is like, look, we're trying to save you, you know, for this playoff run, and Brett Favre thinks he's still 25, and he's not, you know. So I think, honestly, I don't completely disagree with Childress and what he's doing there. You know, Brett Favre, just, it's just one of those things. He's just a great player. That it's like one of those old boxers that just doesn't seem to want to retire. Like Sugar Ray Leonard came back, like, what, 4,000 times, you know, until he finally got slammed to the canvas. It's like, you know, he's one of those guys. He's just not, he's too much of a competitor. He doesn't know when to say when. And, you know, granted, he's had a great season, and this is a great way for him to walk off into the sunset, so to speak. But we'll see. The playoffs are going to determine how beautiful that sunset is for him.
And speaking of old boxers, Evander Holyfield's going to be fighting next week against Francis Bosua. How do you feel about that? That's ridiculous.
You know, I love the real deal. One of my favorite fights of all time was that first Holyfield-Tyson fight, good against evil kind of thing. And then, of course, the sequel, which became the buffet for Mike Tyson. You know, he's another example when I was talking about the fighters that can't quit. Sugar Ray Leonard was the first guy that came to mind. And as much as I love Evander Holyfield, he's the other guy that comes to mind. It's like he's had a great career. You know, why? Why continue? At this point, I think you should hang it up. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm your host, Football Rob. You're listening to Eight in the Box on All Access Football. We are also sponsored by NFLDraftBible.com, CollegeFootballInsiders.com, and FSC.FM. Got to mention them, give them a little plug there. We are talking with Alex Merlo. I called you Alex the Great. Is that a good nickname for you, or I think that's already taken?
Actually, when you used, did you say Greek or great?
Great.
Okay, yeah, great. Anything you want to use that has the word great with my name to it, that's perfectly fine, yeah.
All right, so Alex the Great breaking it down like nobody's business. What do you feel, because we got to talk about the Giants, because that's where I am. I'm in New York City, and they laid an egg, and they've been laying a lot of eggs during the season. I could just remember off the top of my head they got blown out against Carolina, they got blown out last week against Minnesota, they got blown out by the Saints, and the Eagles also handed them a big-time loss. How do they, I've never seen them get blown out with such regularity. It was ridiculous this year. What do you make of that?
Well, you know, Bill Sheridan obviously is a victim of that, since they've let him go. You know, I've seen a lot of things. A lot of folks tend to think that the Giants kind of melded in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And it's amazing, you know, a team that starts 5-0 finishes 8-8 and loses 8 of their last 11 games. And, you know, you've got, and the way that they're losing, I mean, you know, they got spanked in that last game against Minnesota, 44-7. I mean, it just, you know, a team that just was so dominant to turn around and look like that, it's just insane. You know, I saw them play fairly well against my Falcons this year. But, yeah, you know, I don't know. It's a tough one. I kind of scratch my head with this team. I guess you could argue that they haven't been the same since, you know, the former defensive coordinator left. So, you know, I don't know. You can't pin it all on Sheridan either, though. Is Tom Coughlin's, regime kind of, or shtick, so to speak, kind of, falling on deaf ears at this point? Is that part of it? You know, because he's such a strict disciplinarian. You might know more about that than I would, but, you know, I know that his stuff does wear thin on some players after a while.
Yeah, no question. We've heard that from many players before, including the bucktooth, gap-tooth one, Michael Strahan. That's definitely...
Yeah. Who has a face made for, definitely has a face made for radio.
Yeah, no question about that. No question about that. But the other New York team we've got to talk about, the New York Jets, they're in the playoffs. They're facing the Bengals. Teams are very similar there. How do you see the AFC shaking out? We already talked a lot about the NFC. How do you see the AFC shaking out, particularly the New York Jets?
Yeah, you know, that's an interesting one. The Jets somehow, I heard you say a little bit about it earlier, they somehow found their way into the playoffs, you know. And then, of course, you got the Bengals. Will they be able to rally with the death of Chris Henry, rally around that? You know, sometimes that is a rallying point for teams. And the Bengals seem to be this every other year type of team. If you've noticed that the last 2 or 3 years, 4 years, they'll make the playoffs, not make the playoffs, make the playoffs, not make the playoffs. You know, this one is a tough one to call, but I would probably say I see Cincinnati winning this game. I think the Jets kind of found their way into the playoffs, and I'm not so sure that they're going to find their way any deeper into the playoffs. The other game that's going to be interesting, obviously, is the Ravens and the Patriots. The Patriots, of course, now without Wes Welker. So it's going to be interesting to see how they adapt, and I saw Brady talking about how the team's going to have to evolve offensively a little bit. Of course, they still have Randy Moss, and they still have the evil genius there. So, you know, it's going to be interesting. I would say that both home teams win those first-round games. But I think right now nobody's talking about the San Diego Chargers, and they should be, because they're, you know, right now arguably maybe the best team in that conference. But then you could argue still that, you know, you've got Peyton Manning, and the Colts, of course, you know, threw away their bid to become perfect this year. you know, this,
yeah,
is,
what do
this
you
is
think,
a tough.
How do you make it? How do you feel about that? A lot of people were criticizing them, and I know I lost $120 in my fantasy league because this jerk of a coach wanted to sit Peyton Manning down when I had him starting on my championship round, and I, you know, I think Jim Caldwell owes me $120.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people feel that way. You know, here's the thing. I think that you have to qualify it for what it is. If you're trying to pursue history and, you know, reach the unvaunted territory that is...
Forget about thinking, history. I'm trying to pursue $120.
Well, okay, Jimmy from Pawn Shop in Philadelphia. what I'm trying to say is, if you're trying to pursue history and, you know, surpass the Miami Dolphins of 1972, and you have a chance to be perfect. I mean, how often does anyone have a chance to be perfect as a human being? I mean, hardly ever. Then I don't think you throw that away. You know, I think in the nature of sports, the true nature of sports is competition, and you laid down a game that you could have easily won. And, you know, Peyton Manning said all the right things, but I think deep down, I think he agrees with that. You know, he just didn't say what Brett Favre would say, you know. So I agree with you. I don't agree with the decision to throw that game. Now, here's the other side of that. He's trying to rest his players and trying to get the team. He doesn't want to risk an injury like Wilker with the Patriots that could, you know, hurt their playoff chances. So I see both sides of it, and I think if they were heading into the last game of the season and they had one loss and he did that, I don't think anybody would have a problem with it. I think the big question is, he's going against kind of what sports is all about. And if you're trying to be perfect and you have an opportunity to be perfect, why would you blow that? Why would you knowingly throw that away? And I think that's where he's wrong.
Yeah, that was quite a controversy right there that he caused there. But especially when the game was close, I remember watching the Jet game, and it was a pretty close game at the time. The Colts had a small lead, but they had a lead. I believe it was a 5-point lead, and then he just says, you know what, I don't feel like playing anymore, and now I'm down $120 because Jim Caldwell is, you know, he's not playing fantasy football. Or maybe what happened was Jim Caldwell was going up against Peyton Manning in his fantasy league, so he says, you know what, I'm going to do something about this. So that was Alex Merlo. Alex, I want to thank you for calling in. Good stuff as usual. We want you back on the scene as soon as possible, preferably next week. So our next caller, Ed Sheehan from CBSSports.com, want to get your take on this. Ed, how do you feel about these players? And they're making a big deal about it. How do you feel about a lot of these teams laying down in the last couple of weeks of the season?
Well, Rob, I tell you, it's only going to get worse if they go to an 18-game schedule. Imagine the last three or four games of the year, teams laying down. It's just bad for the sport. And I'm glad Commissioner Goodell kind of acknowledged it early, and teams did adjust a little bit last week. But, you know, it's one of those things where it's kind of a catch-22, and you saw what happened to the Patriots by playing their starters. And, you know, it's just something that the NFL is going to have to address during the off season, and I think they'll come up with a way to keep teams wanting to play it all out and go all 16 games.
But really, what can they do about this? I mean, you can't tell a coach to make different decisions. I would like to see Peyton Manning in there competing for a perfect season like every other fan, but what can you really do about if the coach says, I don't think you should play? What are you going to do about that?
Well, maybe one thing they could do, and they, you know, I know it's probably going to raise a few eyebrows, but maybe you even look at possibly reseeding once the playoffs start, meaning, you know, these teams that have already won their division, but, you know, have questionable records, you know, like Arizona last year when they were 9-7 and, you know, had that thing still locked up, you know, two or three weeks left in the year. You know, there's things that they can do about having these teams play out the season strong by reseeding the six playoff teams in each conference that make the playoffs.
So, you know, a team would have a little bit more incentive to continue to win rather than lose maybe two or three games at the end of the year that were practically meaningless.
Well, how about your Redskins there? Do you think they should have rested Jason Campbell during a stretch? I mean, he was getting pummeled.
Well, I mean, the backup is Todd Collins, who's probably likely going to be cut, and he may re-sign with somebody or may retire, I don't know. But, I mean, it would be different if they had, you know, Colt Brennan sitting on the bench and needed some experience. And, you know, Jason's playing for a new contract himself, and the Redskins wanted to showcase him as well. I mean, who knows? They may decide to go in a different direction, and you know, the better he plays, the more value he has for the team. And, you know, they could possibly get a second-round pick, maybe a late first-round pick for his services as a free agent, which will only help the team. And Jason set season highs with just about every category there is in his passing performance. So he actually had a good year, considering he was playing behind a makeshift offensive line and a running attack that basically had a total of yards the final three games of the year.
Yeah, he even though I still don't believe in him in terms of being a franchise quarterback, he showed me something this year. He showed me some toughness. He was willing to stay in there, hang in there, and make the best out of a bad situation. So kudos to him for that. Now, you know, moving ahead, how do you feel about Shanahan? Is that a done deal pretty much? Is it pretty much he's going to be the coach of the Redskins, or is there anybody that could possibly unseat him? Because it seems like it's his job to lose right now.
Now, if you listen to Adam Schefter on ESPN, I mean, he must have a direct line to Daniel Snyder's cell phone or something. But according to Schefter, it's a done deal, and it's just a matter of ironing out the paperwork. I wrote an article about this last night. I think Shanahan really needs to think long and hard about this before he signs his name on any contract, because this is what he's going to go out as. I can't imagine he'll coach another team in his professional career after this, and if this is how he wants to go out, then, you know, great. You know, I guess he's in it for the money then, but you know, he had to have seen the way Zorn was treated. Fired at 4 a.m. as the team landed in Washington at Dulles Airport. Once they got to Redskins Park, he was escorted off the premises by two security guards. You know, I have to sit and wonder, does Mike Shanahan want that same treatment 2 years from now? I mean, what are the expectations of Mike Shanahan? I mean, Zorn had no coaching experience, and he finished 8-8 with this team 2 years ago, okay? So what's a two-time Super Bowl champion coach expected to produce in 2 years? To me, I would think he at least has to take this team to the NFC Championship game by 2011, or he'll be out the door.
Wow, so he was escorted out with two security guards, huh?
Yep.
Wow, that is pretty crappy, I must say. I mean, I've heard a lot of things about Daniel Snyder, but that tops it all, man. Oof. So, I mean, what about Bill Cowher? Everybody says he's out, and I'm wondering, what are you hearing about that? Because he was talking with the Buffalo Bills, and they fired everybody on their staff. So it seems like he doesn't have any interest in that job anymore. Are you hearing anything else about Bill Cowher as of now?
I think he was counting on the Carolina job becoming available. That's why he was probably putting his staff together to kind of, I mean, it's a perfect fit. His daughter's in school down there at North Carolina State, and he's from that area. He went to school there himself, and I mean, it just would have been a perfect fit. And, you know, looked like Locke saved his job with the performance at the end of the year. I think that was the job he was looking at. I mean, he's not looking to rebuild Tampa. He's not looking to rebuild Buffalo. He wants to come in. He wants to win. He wants to get back to a Super Bowl. The only other option would probably be Washington. That's the only other team that, of all the teams that are going to get rid of their coaches, that has a chance of winning in the near future. But, I mean, a lot has to go right. And, I mean, Cowher's already said he wouldn't play, wouldn't coach for this team. I just don't think he likes Snyder's meddlesome ways. But anything's possible when, you know, you start flashing $10 million in front of somebody's eyes. It's hard to say no. Who knows? I will never say never. And knowing Snyder's track record, he could be working with Cowher behind the scenes, and all the Shanahan stuff could be smoke and mirrors, because that's the way he's always operated in the past. You and I have talked about this. You always have to expect the unexpected with him. And
you mean he's dishonest, really?
I don't know if he's dishonest, but he likes to mislead the media and the public as to what he's doing behind the scenes. We never saw Bruce Allen coming. We never saw Joe Gibbs coming when he came back a second time. We never saw really Spurrier coming up until a couple days beforehand. That's just the way he operates. So I would never say never. Cowher or Gruden could be a possibility, but it sounds like Shanahan's a done deal. So I guess we'll have to go with that, according to Mr. Schefter.
Yeah, that's he's a good source. I mean, I think he does a good job. So I'll go with Schefter until he proves me otherwise. But that was Ed Sheehan of CBSSports.com. I want to thank you, Ed, for calling in. It's been a pleasure all season having you on, and we look forward to hearing you from next week.
All right, Rob. See ya.
All righty. That was Ed Sheehan, CBSSports.com. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back after this.
I'm Rob Reed of BaseballGeeks.com and PlayerTrack.com. Since 2006, Greg Kier and I have been bringing you podcasts on baseball news, where we view the latest in baseball news with our fantasy baseball-colored sunglasses. We are proud to be a part of the Fantasy Sports Channel at blogtalkradio.com. Listen to us live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at blogtalkradio.com/baseballgeeks. And listen to two average Joes talk about the game that we love.
Are you one of the millions of American fantasy owners who suffer from fantasy sports failure syndrome, or FSFS? If so, coming in January 2009, a new fantasy site hits the web to cure this crippling disease. FantasyPros901.com will provide you with the essentials to win your leagues, with products like our fantasy draft guide, daily podcasts, daily expert articles, and the best support team anywhere on the web. Tell your doctor you need FantasyPros901.com for your fantasy sports failure syndrome now.
Fantasy versus reality, the show in which guys and girls are just sitting around the bar talking sports and sharing opinions. Tune in next Thursday at 11 p.m. Eastern. Don't be late or you'll be kaboomed. More live fantasy sports radio than anyone on the planet. 7 continuous hours of football, baseball, basketball, and hockey action each Monday through Friday. Plus 7 hours of game day frenzy on Sunday. 30 shows in all from the best fantasy sportscasters in the business, like Craig Davis of FantasyFootball.com, the Audible Cecil Lammy, Paul Greco of Mel Nick and Greco Fantasy Sports, and the Fantasy Football guys Lyle Conkiel and Kevin Moore. The Fantasy Sports Channel, only on Blog Talk Radio. It's a schedule you can bet on.
And we are back on 8 in the Box. I'm your host, Football Rob, powered by All Access Football, NFLDraftBible.com, CollegeFootballInsiders.com, and FSC.fm. I noticed we have some visitors in the chat room, and that's always good. We want some feedback from you guys talking about the coaching carousel that is the NFL right now. Black Monday was yesterday. Everybody pretty much who was going to get fired got fired yesterday, except for Josh McDaniels. So we are going to be talking about the wild card round right now. And we've got to start off with Baltimore and New England. And, you know, that's the thing about this matchup. Everybody, first of all, Baltimore's going to lose. I mean, they did not look very good down the stretch at all. I mean, they did win against the Raiders, but you know that to me that doesn't matter at all. The week before, they had every opportunity to beat the Pittsburgh Steelers. That would have been a huge win for them, and it wouldn't have even come down to the last weekend if they would have been able to, you know, pull that one out. But they blew that game, and they don't look that good. I'm not too sold on Joe Flacco. I don't think he's that good. In terms of, you know, comparing him with Matt Ryan, I think Matt Ryan is you're going to see as time goes on, he's a game winner, whereas Joe Flacco's merely a game manager. And I think that's going to show itself in the playoffs. You know, you could get away with 9-7 and being an above-average quarterback, but, you know, when the playoffs come, it's a whole different animal. And I know he had the first two games in the playoffs he won last year, I know. But he's going to come back down to earth, and I don't think it's going to look too pretty. And then on the New England side, everybody thinks that they're going to have a big problem now that Wes Welker's out. But you know what? Julian Edelman is a name that you should know. He's a wide receiver that does the same exact things as Wes Welker. So I don't think they're going to miss a beat. I really don't. And when you consider Brady was out for the whole season last year and they still won 11 games, I mean, they're just a machine. And I don't like Bill Belichick either. I think they're a bunch of cheaters. You know, I think LaDainian Tomlinson said it right when he said that Bill Belichick has no class. Because he really doesn't. Absolutely no class. The guy, you know, runs off the field after the Super Bowl loss, before the game is even over, and he's crying like a baby. So the guy has no class, and that's been proven time and time again. But having said all that, he's a great coach, and he's going to get his guys ready. He's going to get his guys ready, and they're going to take care of business at home against Baltimore. Then you got the Jets game. Woody Johnson's daughter died yesterday, the owner of the New York Jets, so I wonder how the team's going to be affected by that. I don't think they'll be affected too much, because from what I'm understanding, she wasn't very close with the team, but still, maybe that weighs on them a little bit. Maybe they have a little extra incentive, as if they didn't have an extra incentive already. You know, maybe that has something to do with their performance this coming Saturday. Who knows? But I do think that both teams, both wildcard teams in the AFC, both home wildcard teams in the AFC will take care of business. Cincinnati and New England, they probably advance. Now, looking over on the NFC, this is a little tricky right there. This is a little tricky because you got Arizona and Green Bay. Arizona, we know they can look great and they can look bad. And you really don't know week to week what you're going to get out of them. You know, they look great against the Minnesota Vikings. And then they follow that up with a stinker. It's like, you know, I can't figure them out for the life of me, you know, pretty much all season. And I know they went 10-6 and they won their division, but they're in a weak division. We all know that. And just looking at their season, you know, they beat San Francisco week one, they beat Jacksonville week two, they lose to Indy, well, who didn't? They beat Houston, so then right there they're 3-1. 4-1 with Seattle win, 5-1. So they were at 5-1 at one point. And then they end up 10-6. So they went 5-6 down the stretch. And that really goes exactly to what I'm talking about. You really don't know what the hell they're going to do from week to week. Green Bay, on the other hand, I think Green Bay is quite a nice little dark horse pick in the NFC. Aaron Rodgers is, I think, a top five quarterback. I want to see what you guys think about that. You think he's a top five quarterback? You got Tom Brady. You got Peyton Manning. You probably got Drew Brees up in there, and Philip Rivers, and you could put him in there too. You could put Aaron Rodgers in there with the kind of season they had, 11-5, coming back from a bad season the previous year. I believe they were 5-11 last year. So you go from that to 11-5, and I'd say you're vastly improved. And you look at Aaron Rodgers' stats. I mean, these stats are unbelievable. You thought he had an unbelievable season last year. Check this out. 4,434 passing yards, 30 touchdowns, only 7 picks, quarterback rating 103.2. That's phenomenal. That's phenomenal. I'd go as far as to say right now he's better than Brett Favre. I think he's better than Brett Favre. If you had to win a game, a playoff game, this week, who would you rather have? I'm going with Aaron Rodgers. I really hope they meet in the playoffs, though. That would be something. That would be something. Minnesota, Green Bay in the playoffs. Brett Favre, well, he didn't have too bad of a season himself there. 4,200 yards, 33 touchdowns, 7 picks. He kind of stumbled the last couple of games, and then he just blew up against the Giants there. Yeah, but that's going to be fun. That is going to be a fun game. And then I'll pick Green Bay. I think Green Bay can go into Arizona because, like we said, Arizona is very erratic. Philly, Dallas. Philly really surprised me by not showing up in Week 17. It looked as though they were saving all their energy for this game, which I don't get, because if they would have won that game, if they would have won against Dallas in Dallas, they get a bye week. So they had something to play for. It just seems like they didn't get the memo, you know? They didn't get the memo that, oh, this game kind of matters for you. Even though you're clinched for the playoffs, you could play one less game if you win this one. I guess they didn't figure that out. But Philly, aside from that game, they are one of the hottest teams in the NFC right now. So I'm going to have to go Philly. I think both road teams win their games in the NFC, and both home teams win their games in the AFC. So that's my prediction. Let's just find out and wait and see how wrong I am. That's usually what happens. I'm your host, Football Rob. You are listening to 8 in the Box, powered by All Access Football, NFLDraftBible.com. CollegeFootballInsiders.com and FSC.FM. We are breaking down the playoffs, man. And I'm still going to say it, man. I'm still sticking to my prediction that the San Diego Chargers, if they meet the Indianapolis Colts, they will beat the Indianapolis Colts. I'm still sticking with that. I still believe it. I've had weeks to think it over, and I'm still believing it. So we're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back after this.
I'm Rob Reed of BaseballGeeks.com and PlayerTrack.com. Since 2006, Greg Kier and I have been bringing you podcasts on baseball news, where we view the latest in baseball news with our fantasy baseball-colored sunglasses. We are proud to be a part of the Fantasy Sports Channel at blogtalkradio.com. Listen to us live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at blogtalkradio.com/baseballgeeks. And listen to two average Joes talk about the game that we love.
Are you one of the billions of American fantasy owners who suffer from Fantasy Sports Failure Syndrome, or FSFS? If so, coming in January 2009, a new fantasy site hits the web to cure this crippling disease. FantasyPros901.com will provide you with the essentials to win your leagues, with products like our Fantasy Draft Guide, daily podcasts, daily expert articles, and the best support team anywhere on the web. Tell your doctor you need FantasyPros901.com for your Fantasy Sports Failure Syndrome now.
Fantasy versus Reality, the show in which guys and girls are just sitting around the bar talking sports and sharing opinions. Tune in next Thursday at 11 p.m. Eastern. Don't be late or you'll be kaboomed. More live fantasy
sports radio than anyone on the planet.
7 continuous hours of football, baseball, basketball, and hockey action each Monday through Friday.
Plus 7 hours of game day frenzy on Sunday.
30 shows in all from the best fantasy sportscasters in the business, like Craig Davis of FantasyFootball.com, the Audible Cecil Lammy, Paul Greco of Melnick and Greco Fantasy Sports, and the Fantasy Football guys Lyle Conkiel and Kevin Moore. The Fantasy Sports Channel, only on Blog Talk Radio.
It's a schedule you can bet on.
All right, we are back on 8 in the Box. I'm your host, Football Rob. We are powered by All Access Football, NFLDraftBible.com, CollegeFootballInsiders.com, and FSC.fm. Check us out in the chat room right now. We're going to get it popping. We've got only 5 minutes remaining, so we got to make this nice and snappy here. So I think, I think the Cincinnati Bengals advance, and the Patriots advance, and San Diego, who has a bye week, like we mentioned before with Alex Merlo there, they are a hot team, and I don't think they get the credit that they deserve, because they're playing San Diego. It's kind of a, you know, it's not really a football town, I don't think. It's more just like, you know, gorgeous weather all the time. You can do whatever you want. There's really, you know, in terms of, like, I think the Steelers, they travel very well. I think the Giants travel very well. A lot of teams have hardcore fans. Green Bay. I don't think the Chargers are a hardcore football fan kind of team there. And that's probably why they're not getting a lot of publicity. So that's about to change, though. That's about to change, because Phillip Rivers, he's having a phenomenal season. And the only weakness in his game, really, is that look on his face. You know, he looks like a brat. He really does. You know, but other than that, and the guy's got everything else. Toughness, he's got an arm, he's got accuracy, he's got poise in the pocket, he can move around. Mobility, you know, he does everything. Everything about his game is top-notch except for the look on his face. So, you know, and you could see if you watch these games that it's now his team. It used to be LT's team, but now it's pretty much Phillip Rivers. Phillip Rivers is the number one guy, and they sprinkle in a little LT every once in a while. But they no longer, a defense no longer keys on LaDainian Tomlinson. They're trying to stop Vincent Jackson down the field. They're trying to stop Legadu Nane, is trying to stop all these guys, Sproles and Gates and all these guys. So, and I think that's why LT's able to have a pretty good year, what he had this year, because he's got so much talent around him. Who would have ever thought we would actually say that LT's no longer the guy, and he's just a complimentary role player. But that's just exactly what happened. And I think he's adjusted very well. I think he's taken his new role, and he's done very well with it. So kudos to him. And I think their hard work's going to pay off in the playoffs. I think it's definitely going to pay off in the playoffs. Even though they have a coach that looks like Al Gore, they look like they're ready to compete. You know, they've been close before. They've had some good playoff wins. They've beaten the Colts in Indianapolis before in the playoffs in 2007, and then they lost to the eventual biggest losers of all time, the New England Patriots, that lost in the Super Bowl 18-1. So they've been to the playoffs before. They know what to expect now. They're a seasoned veteran group. They're no longer, you know, these wide-eyed young guys that don't know anything about winning in the playoffs. They've all been there before, and I think this is the year that they take that step and go to the Super Bowl. And I think they'll face the Eagles in the Super Bowl. That's my pick. Chargers, Eagles. Because you got to remember, Tony Romo's going to blow it. And when he faces the Eagles in the playoffs, I mean, I know he's had a great stretch down these last few weeks, but you gotta wonder. I mean, he hasn't done it yet in the playoffs. If he doesn't do it this time in the playoffs, He'll never do it. Because, I mean, everything's set up for him to do well. You know, they got rid of their prima donna wide receiver. They, you know, they have more chemistry in the locker room now. Everything's pretty much going well. Miles Austin has really emerged. So if Tony Romo can't get it done now, he'll never do it. And I don't think he'll ever do it. Plus, you gotta always remember, Sean Sweezum's a horrible kicker. The guy misses chip shots all the time. And that's going to come back to bite you in the playoffs. But that's all the time we have for this show. I want to thank all our callers for participating. I'm your host, Football Rob. You are listening to 8 in the Box, and I am signing off.